Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, and welcome to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr, and we're here tonight. I'd like to welcome you, our listeners who are listening online and those who have called in. If you are listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr, we'd like to welcome you to the broadcast tonight. You can call in live and join the conversation, share your insights, your thoughts, your testimony tonight by calling 646-668-2636 and pressing 1 on your keypad, and we can bring you into the conversation. You can join in with us. Amen. Amen. Well, tonight we're going to talk a little bit about Christmas. We're going to do a little twist on it because it's one of the things that we believe as Christians we're called to do is to be able to preach the gospel. Let people understand what the true gospel is, who Jesus Christ was, his life, his birth, his life, his death, and the resurrection. So that's what we're going to talk about a little tonight. We're going to go to the simple gospel. You know, a long time ago it was taught that we should be able to present the gospel to the folk in as brief as possible. We can't always be able to preach sermons to folk, but when people ask, we should have an answer. And it's one of the things that as men of God, women of God, is the body of Christ, we should know what we believe and why we believe it. And be prepared in season and out of season to share the gospel truth with folk that we meet on the street, that we know, that we work with, and any time that someone might approach you and ask you. You know, so we have to prepare ourselves, and that takes study, especially now in this Christmas season. So first I'm going to open with scripture and prayer, and then we're going to go right into the conversation. Amen. Tonight I want to read from John, through number 8, starting at verse number 48. And the word of God says, the Jews answered him, are we right in saying that you are a Samaritan, a demon, and demon-possessed? I am not possessed by a demon, said Jesus, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. I am not seeking glory for myself, but there is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. Very true, I tell you, whosoever obeys my word will never see death. And at this they exclaim, now we know that you are demon-possessed. Abraham died, and so did the prophets, that you say that whosoever obeys your word never tastes death. Are you greater than our father Abraham? He died, and so did the prophets. Who do you think you are? And Jesus replied, if I glorify myself, my glory means nothing. My Father, whom you claim as your God, is the one who glorifies me. Though you do not know him, I know him. If I say I did not, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him and obey his word. For him received all that through seeing my day, he saw it and was glad. You are not yet 50 years old, they said to him, and you have seen Abraham? Very true, I tell you, Jesus answered, before Abraham was, I am. At this, they picked up stones to stone him, but Jesus hid himself and slipped away from the temple grounds. Father God, we say thank you tonight, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, that you are the Son of God, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, that your word, Lord God, and the testimony of your life, O God, that has set the foundation, O God, for our salvation, for our reconciliation back unto the Father, O God. Father, we pray today, O God, that you will continue, O God, to save souls. Father, today we pray that the blinded eyes of the unbeliever will be open, O God, in this season, O God. Father, we say thank you, Lord God. We come to you with hearts of gratitude. Continue to bless us, watch over us, and strengthen us, O God. Give us the wisdom and discernment to continue to press on, O God, to be faithful servants unto you, that we might hear well done, a good and faithful servant. This is our prayer today in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. Well, tonight we're going to touch on a couple of things. We may be not going to be here long tonight because I just wanted to be able to put this out into this opportunity and this media that God has blessed us with to be able to share. And it's one of the things we're going to do in 2007 be able to share the gospel in its purest and simplest form for those who have not heard. And also to encourage my brothers out there listening, those who listen regularly and listen to us weekly and catch us on the internet, it's just that we have to come to a place where we can just share the simple gospel, not necessarily a sermon, not necessarily preaching, but be able to go one-on-one, be able to do, you know, what we used to call back in the day, street evangelism, or just or cold evangelism, where we share for handout tracts or just speak a word into people's lives. They didn't know who Jesus was. Because we know today we're surrounded by a lot of images of what church is, what it means to be a Christian. Folk claim Christianity. They put a couple of verses of scripture in some of their speeches, and they look to seek the favor of the body of Christ. But all that put to the side, we just have to sometimes be able to preach and share the pure gospel. So that's what we wanted to talk about tonight. Real quickly, and if you have any, and again, if you want to share your experience or your testimony of salvation or a word of encouragement, we encourage you to call in. You can call at 646-668-2636. And if you're online, you can always listen to this rebroadcast every week by going to www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr. Amen. Amen. So tonight, we're going to begin with, you know, what the beginning. It's one of the things we have to understand who Jesus is. A lot of people, a lot of different folks speak about who Jesus is and what the Bible says and what people teach. And sometimes we forget that it's as simple of Jesus was the Son of God, the God of the Christian Bible, the God of the Bible. We all know the King James, NIV, but it's that Christian Protestant Bible. And what he speaks in the Old Testament, he's the fulfillment of that. So tonight we're just going to share real quickly some of those things. You know, because people have, you know, they've heard the name of Jesus. And when people hear the name of Jesus, it means a lot of different things to them. And it brings out a lot of emotions. It brings out a lot of thoughts, imagery. You know, we have art that, you know, over the history of mankind, ever since his birth and his death and his resurrection, there's been all kinds of art and sculptures and paintings and all those things. And a lot of those things, I do personally believe that it was used to distract us, because when we start to put images on something and make it look like whatever, we try to use that against us, each other. Because again, as a human race, as mankind, we're all from the same creator. We're all from the same father, Adam, and we're all offspring of him. Amen. So today, what God wants, God really wants, he wants God to know that God loves you, that he's seeking to have an ongoing relationship with you, for you to be able to hear him, to hear his word, to him speaking to your life. And we know that the Bible is given to us as letters, as instructions, as revelation to mankind to know who he is through the scriptures, through Old Testament and New Testament, and that once we allow him to be part of our life, that we make a decision, that we understand that God wants us to be the best in life. He wants to set us free from certain things that we're dealing with. Because a lot of things that we face from sin. Some of our past mistakes, our past guilt, our past shame. And a lot of us are bound up in sin, or have been bound up in sin. But some of us who have become believers, we've been set free from a lot of things in our life, and bad choices and bad circumstances. So today, we just want to share that God loves us. The God of the Bible, he does love us. And because of that love, he has set a way to set us free, again, to bring us out of our past, to set us free from guilt and shame and the bondage of sin, the bondage of addictions, from drugs and alcohol or anything that could be bounding you up, that could be keeping you from being all that God created you to be. Because one of the things we have to understand and realize in the body of Christ, and for those who have yet not to believe, that God created every person, every man, woman, and child that's on this earth to take care of each other, to take care of the community, to take care of family, so that we all have a purpose. But only through God's obedience and living in the way that he chose us to live can we be fulfilled in our purpose. You know, as a pastor told me a long time ago, you know, there's a difference between a fan and a fan. It will rotate to cool us off and a lawnmower. And their purposes are different, but if we just look at them, we see that they were blades spinning around, but you couldn't use a fan as a lawnmower, and you couldn't use a lawnmower as a thing. So we all have purpose. Amen. And one of the things that I think that we definitely have to rework and we struggle with is selfishness. So these are some of the things that if we're honest and look at ourselves and understand where we are and our condition, that God, if that's what God wants, He wants to set us free from it. And just, and it is a freedom in knowing who you are, what your purpose is, and understanding who God is. So, and full of that plan, God has accomplished all that. His plan was Jesus Christ. And again, Jesus was born spotless. We're in this season in December of 2016. We're in the season of Christmas again. And personally, I've been here for about 50, 55 Christmases. And, you know, it's all the same. We do a lot of things in this season, but a lot of the things we do, sometimes we miss out and we leave out who Christ was and the purpose of Christmas. Because even with today, with the way the culture is, and they try to remove Christ out of Christmas, it's a struggle. But because of his birth, because of that child being born, is why we have the celebration this time of year. So this is all part of God's plan. This is an opportunity in a season we recognize. Now, I've been around a long time. I was not in the church, raised in the church, but I've also heard all the arguments of that Christ wasn't born in December. He wasn't born December 15th. I mean, 25th, I'm sorry. But people, when you get into that argument as Christians, I'll say this to my Christian brothers and sisters. That's not the argument. The argument is always, who do you say Christ is? Because that's the most important thing. We understand, you know, we have to understand that we know this is just a celebration. This is the day we choose at this season and this time to celebrate his life, celebrate his birth. However, as Christians, we know that the focus is, who do you say Jesus was? That baby that was born, that he was born spotless and sinless, and he was born Son of God. He was born of a virgin. He was a fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy of the coming Messiah, the Savior of the world. And these are the things that we have to really share with folk. And we have to be prepared to share it with folk when these conversations come up. Just as Christians, as just obedient servants of God, living our lives on purpose and for his glory. And we have to be prepared to have an answer always, because we can't assume people know. We can't assume people understand. So given the opportunity, we have to be ready to share that insight and that wisdom with them about who Christ is and who and why he was born. Amen? Amen. So when I talked about the plan, we already know that we all, if we're honest with ourselves again, that we have to understand that we all have done things wrong in our lives. We've been places, we've done things. You know, I share in my testimony on other previous conversations with some of the brothers the things I wasn't raised in the church. But then you come to a point and you're in realization of who you are and the things that you've done and the wrong you've done. And again, once we hear that gospel, once we hear and understand what sin is, because, you know, again, that disobedience and being separated from God by who we are, by, it's a nature thing. So it's a lot to it. But as again, I say tonight, we're not going to go into a big theological discussion, but we're going to touch the surface. That every man needs a Savior. Amen? Amen. Right now, I want to bring one of my guests came in. He wanted to share. Your last four numbers are 4945. Good evening. How are you?
God bless you. How are you, Deacon Farr? Darian Boone here, Covenant Life Health Ministry.
Praise the Lord, brother. How are you?
Well, just coming out of choir practice, feeling real great.
Amen, amen. All right, that means you're praising worship up now, right now. Amen.
Oh yeah, I was hitting up on the skins there and playing to the choir. And yes, I am prayed up, made a joyful noise.
Amen, amen. Well, thank you, brother, for joining us tonight. Take your time out. Well, tonight we're sharing a little bit about the gospel. We're sharing about who Jesus is, what God wants, and God's plan for us. And because again, as I was saying earlier, I'm not sure if you came in a little bit late, but I just wanted to have, you know, a conversation, maybe share that gospel and that good news. Because we're in that season of Christmas, we're in this season, and all the things that go on a lot, we forget about who Christ is. What are we really celebrating? And then we take out, and then sometimes as Christians, we forget that not everyone has heard the gospel, the message, and understand what salvation is and what why they need to be saved and what they must do to be saved. So I just wanted to touch on that a little bit tonight and share and put it out there and pray that someone's ears will be opened, eyes will be opened, they can hear it and let their hearts be considered, let the Holy Spirit move upon them. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Amen. So I was reading, let me tell you what you think about, brother, the importance that we stay, who Christ is and what he means to you.
You know, brother, this is a very good time to speak about Christ, because even the non-believers know why they may try to close their eyes to see, but it's all around them that Christ is the reason for this season right now, his birth, the gift giving. It's because of Christ. It's not because of Santa Claus. You see Santa Claus. You see them in the store. They see him ringing the bell, asking for change. But they feel in some form or fashion they can have a hard face. They can have a hard heart. But let not their heart be hardened, because they'll know that the reason is because of Christ. And this is the best time to really preach or teach or speak about that to believers, non-believers, outside of the church, because this is, their hearts right now are so full of joy, of gift giving, trying to make that other loved one or person or friend or brother or sister happy about knowing that, hey, this is once a year that I basically let my brother or sister or wife or husband know that I love you, and this is a time for gift giving. So this is the perfect time to open up our spiritual hearts and mouths to speak about Christ. What do you think?
Amen, sir. Amen. You're absolutely correct. And the thing I do want to share with folks is and understand is it's not about being a pastor, a minister, or elder. We as believers are obligated, or we're called to by Christ to spread the gospel, to disciple all nations, to get to that point where we are sharing the gospel. It's a lot to it. It's how we act. It's how we treat one another. It's how we treat others. But then it's also being able to speak life into folk and be able to share it and let them understand. Because the word says that folk need to hear the gospel and be able to respond to the gospel. And if we're not out there doing that, if we're not out there sharing it verbally and communicating and knowing how to do it, like I was talking earlier about, it's important that we practice on how to share the gospel with someone, how to have a conversation. You know, because that, I think, is a lot that we lack. We tend to leave it for pastors and ministers to do. And then when it comes time for us to actually have to speak up, we get nervous. Because I know I've been there. You get nervous. You get tongue-tied. Your memory slips, and you can't remember all the scriptures you want to remember. But, again, it's preparing. It's preparation. It's preparing ourselves to do it. And as we know, Christmas is every year. So, you know, you have an opportunity every year, every day, to get it right, to be able to share.
Yeah.
Because it's not having the whole script down, but it's having an answer. Because I think it's really a lot of it is having an answer when folks ask you a question. But if someone came to you today and asked, what must I do to be saved? You know, we have to, as Christians, look at ourselves. As husbands, fathers, mothers, daughters, you know, we have to know, well, how will we respond to that? And we have to be able to answer them sincerely, because we, again, my whole passion about it is we can't assume that folk know. We can't assume folk in the church know. We can't assume that they believe, because unless they know, unless they're taught and been discipled, we don't know what they believe. And we don't want them to have a faith that's superficial. You know, I've been recently, I was with a pastor, and we was talking with a brother. He's now my pastor. But, it's folks don't really understand the gospel. They come to church, and they think they're okay. And that's where we have folk who come to church, been to church, and they're doing things, but the salvation of their soul is not secure. What do you think about that, sir?
Yes, that's true, and of course we are not to judge that, pass judgment on anyone, because God is our judge. He judges us all, but just to be fair and just in a spiritual way to the next brother or sister, to just give them a gentle, kind word and to start a conversation. That's all you need. You don't need to Bible thump, as you stated, to get a point across by speaking those gentle words that Jesus used to speak to those who was just on the street. He got his point across, and they wanted to know more. When you speak gently and the word is coming out your mouth in a spiritual manner, people intend to, like they say, like the Bible says, they draw unto thee, they draw nigh unto thee, they draw it closer. They just want to know more about it. And as I stated, this is that time where people's hearts are open for that. You know, they want, you know, the joy. Everybody knows that this is depressed time of the year, where, you know, people have lost loved ones, or they know they're going to be lonely for Christmas, or things of that matter. But you never know who you're touching, so you just got to be ready spiritually. What do you think, brother?
Amen, sir. You're absolutely right. That's the word. We must be ready. I want to read something real quick from Scripture. I want to read from John chapter number 3, and it's going to be at verse number 36. And the Bible says, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, but God's wrath remains on them. And that's one of the main things about the gospel. You know, because folk give disillusions that God loves everybody and Jesus loves everybody and God's not going to send people to hell. And that's some of the misconception that goes on. That's some of the things that even Christians, the reason why we don't. I was shocked to hear that some Christians think that everyone's going to heaven, that God's not sending them to hell. But there's a price. When folks say that, they take away the whole reason for Christ being born. They take away the whole reason for this Christmas season, this baby that was born to a virgin. You know, we tend to skip over the biblical story, the biblical truth behind what the whole holiday is about, and that tends to slip through and slip past us. But we have to, again, as Christians, we take this season and we have to be prepared to bring people back to the reason. You know, even that has become a cliche now and become a advertising thing. But again, we are here because of Christ, and we have to remember that baby, you know, that was born on that silent night was destined to pay the price for all of our sins. So our sins, our disobedience from God, the disobedience of everyone, all the way back to Adam, was going to be paid by the life of this child that we now celebrate. And that's why it's so, I think that again, I've been around a couple 50 years here with Christmases, and we have to be able to use this opportunity when people, like you say, they're open, but then we have to remember, when they're open, what are we putting in to open willing vessels? To be able to hear something different than, you know, it's Merry Christmas and, you know, just the norm and the gifts and the things. And again, here at Issues Christian Men's Talk, we like the whole brothers are responsible. You're responsible for your family, your children, your grandchildren, those in your circle of influence, those in your life, who know you're a Christian, to take that opportunity to remind them that who this baby was and why he was born. And that there's a choice that's going to have to come that they're going to have to make. What do you think, sir?
That is so true. And you touched something very important. Not only being a responsible Christian man, but being responsible inwardly for your of yourself. And you have to, you can't forget, you know, although you're coming out with these spiritual words to the next brother, you have to feed yourself before you feed anybody else. You can't go speaking to someone malnourished, you have to have your nourishment. So feed yourself before you go out and feed others, because people know if you look hungry. You know, it's a simple process. If you look hungry, you look malnourished, and you try to speak to somebody else, they're gonna hear your beautiful words that God have gave you to pass on to another spirit. But they're gonna see that you're not taking care of yourself. So look ready, have your breastplate and armor on, and go out there and do what, as you say, what God wants us to do, and then spread the gospel. What do you think, sir?
Amen, sir. Amen. So, again, as those of you listening, if you're listening at www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr, you can call in tonight and join the conversation with us by calling 646-668-2636. And pressing 1 on your keypad, and you can join the conversation and share your insight on what you're thinking about what we're talking about tonight. We're talking about Jesus. We're talking about Jesus Christ and the Christmas and the importance of us as men of God and women of God and the body of Christ to be able to take this opportunity in these seasons to be able to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And one of the things that I did want to share as far as part of that is talking about who Christ was, because, again, folks, you hear a lot of stories, we hear a lot of things and misinformation about Christ. And I think that's one of the things us as Christians, as the body of Christ, those believers, that we must be able to explain that who Christ is. This baby that was born, he was just not another child. He was born sinless. He was born spotless. He was born with no sin. And he was his whole purpose was to come and pay the price for, again, the sins and the disobedience of mankind towards God's perfect will and law for the human race. And it doesn't have to do with it doesn't have to do with creed or nationalities. We're all human. And that's what the thing we have to understand. Does that depend on our language or what part of the world we're from? He came and died for all of mankind, all of us humans. This is why Christ came. This is why that child was born. This is why we celebrate it. We mark it on our calendar. We look around, like you shared, Brother Boone. But if we look around, we see the effect that God has on culture and what Christianity is doing, what Christ has done, that our whole way of life is structured around the birth of this child. But it seems like we forget about it. You know, we forget about it. Every time we write a check, we look at a calendar, the dates, it's all about that child. So that the significance of that child, we tend to slip past. And then again, if we are to be men of God and women of God, we are called to be able to share that gospel message with the lost and dying world. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So what I want to touch on today, I also want to talk about that people need to understand really who and why he was born. My simple thing, like I was going to go into a theological teaching or a sermon. I just wanted to share some information. And I do want to point folks in direction to Scripture, because again, you can listen to this, you can listen to the rebroadcast, break your Bible out, search out some scriptures, and you probably know some Christian friends. If you're unsaved and you haven't given your life to Christ, and you know some Christian friends, I give you some scriptures, y'all can start talking about it. Maybe they can then give you some answers and help you get to that point where you understand and you realize what must you do to be saved. But I'm going to point to tonight, I want to go to Romans chapter number 6. At verse 23. And the Word of God says, I'm going to start at verse number 22, because I want to touch on this. But now that we have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness and the result of eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that's one of the things we definitely have to share with folks. that it's a combination of things sometimes. It's not necessarily what we have done or what we have done or what we will do. But again, we as a human race, we're tied to the disobedience of Adam. So that's the first place. That's called status. You know, my pastor taught me that we have a status because of Adam's sin. But then Christ has taken care of that, because through Christ, God has made a way for us to change our status. But then we have to, like you were saying, we have to take account for our own personal sins. And that's part of acknowledging that we are disobedient to God, that we are that the sins that we live with every day, those things that's in our heart. It's a heart thing. It's a mindset. It's how we behave, and the things we do that are disobedient to God. So it's twofold. And again, if you're not in church or you're not a believer, this is opportunity to, you can always, you know, I always say to folk, go to a church, go to a Bible study, and anything that you have a question for, a question about, on what you read or what you heard. But those are the opportunities to go. You have, even if you know a Christian friend, you know, ask them what these things mean, because it's all about understanding. We can't believe something that we don't understand, that we would come and understand. Because that was my thing. Because for me, myself, it was hearing the word, being taught, being able to ask questions, and then coming to an understanding and the knowledge of God. Because at some point, you're going to pray, and God's going to open up and reveal some things to you and give you that understanding. But you have to be able to want to. Because you can't commit yourself to something that you have not understood. And I think that's the thing. I definitely, when it's more, that's one of the things that I pray over about when we see folk who have emotional responses. But then when we talk about fruit in their lives and transformation and conversion of their lives, and I think you touched on that yourself about we don't judge, we're not judging folk. But when there's a true conversion by faith in Christ and what Christ has done, we're going to see different lives. We're going to see people acting different, walking different, living different, thinking different, and speaking different. And we call that fruit. You know, and we all not going to get there at the same time. It's not like we all start, you know, we all start sixth grade together, so we all going to graduate. We start in September, and we all graduate in June. We mature at different levels. But there's always we're in a place where we're seeking to be obedient to God in our lives, in our walk. What do you think, sir?
God bless you. You really touched the beginning of the relationship of Christ. See, I had to go through something to get to know God, to get to know His Son Jesus Christ. You know, it's like you said, it's not overnight. A lot of people some people don't go through things to ask for God's mercy and understanding. But those who do, and if any other audience or anybody is going through something, know that there is a God, and there is a Son, the Son of God, which is Jesus Christ. So if you call out to God and ask Him for His heavenly mercy to forgive you, He will forgive you. I'm a witness on that part. But you definitely have to know His Son and acknowledge His Son, Jesus Christ. And that's where you really get that relationship, that friend, that agape love relationship, arm in arm, where you see and feel that you are forgiven for your sins. And once you're forgiven, you have to trust that you are forgiven. Faith of a mustard seed, knowing that you have a friend indeed in God, in the Son of God, Jesus Christ, is there for you. That's where, as you stated, Deacon Farr, that transformation starts, where you start to believe and know that you are one of His, and He has your back each and everywhere you go. When you speak, And when you take care of yourself, as you walk through the stores or walk in your home, it's a different persona that he gives you, and you'll see people acting differently unto you. It, as my grandmother used to say, I dare you to trust him. You know, just trust him. Just beg for his mercy, and see the transformation that comes upon you that you thought would never even come upon you. Because I'm a witness here that it does happen, and God is alive and well, and he answers prayers. What do you think, Deacon?
Amen. So you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And that's what we just I just wanted to share tonight, that truth, that no matter what you're going through, okay, no matter what you've heard, and again, the body of Christ, we as the body of Christ, I think we have to remember where God has brought us from and what it took for us to get saved, you know, and especially, you know, for those of us who were not raised in the church from youth. And there were some things that got us there. There's some things that helped us mature and grow. And, you know, someone discipled you. Someone taught you. Someone prayed with you. So all God wants us to do is do those things to others that were done to us to get us to where we are, that we are walking secure in the foundation. We're working secure in our faith, that we got to the point where we understand who God is and we're living a life that will glorify him. And what are we doing? Whose lives are we sowing into? And again, it's as men, as husbands and fathers and brothers in Christ, we have to sometimes look around and see who's in need of encouragement, of a word, of a peace, of a prayer. Who are we praying for, consistently praying for? You know, we should be praying for folks, not necessarily because they ask, but because they're in our circle of influence. They're in our lives. We should be praying for them. We should be calling out to God for them. Just, you know, let God use you the way God used someone else in your life. You know, the example I always use that all the great men of God that we know and preachers and teachers, they all had to hear the gospel message and believe and be taught. And we never know who reached Billy Graham, who reached T.D. Jakes, who reached, you know, Prayerful Dollar, who reached your pastor, who reached whoever, the men that you look up to, you know, your bishop, your pastor, your elders, who spoke into their lives to the point where they accepted it, and then God used their lives to be in your life. So we have to also be in a place and seek to be in a place where God can use us for the same thing. Because God is about saving souls. God does not want anyone to perish and spend eternity separated from him. But he does want those who claim to be his to do the works he's called them to do. So we have to always be in a place where we can give folk opportunity to choose. We have to either choose Jesus' substitutional death, that he stood in the gap, that he's paid the price for their sins. But if they reject it, then they will someday stand alone in judgment before him and have to give account for their lives. And if we knew them, if we didn't share the gospel with them or reached out to them to help them understand, to help them help their belief, then God's going to hold us accountable, even in our salvation, because we were disobedient. And that's where the fruit comes. Whose lives are we sowing into? So, and then also the gospel message is that God is justice. He is love, because that's one of the other things folk try to throw around in unbelievers, that God is love. But God is also a just God. And again, for my brothers out there, my believers, my brothers who read the scripture, if we read the entirety of scripture, we understand that God is a just God, and he punishes sin. He punishes the unrighteous. There's some things because he can see the beginning and the end. And if we look at the Old Testament, there were some things that God done because he knew that it had to be stopped. Even if we look at the flood, we look at Moses and the Pharaoh, there's a reason why. We look at all the battles that Israel went through, and trying to occupy the land and those cultures they came up against. That's just the history part of the Bible. I know a lot of folks don't read that part, but that's a good part too. Amen?
Amen.
That's the foundation. Amen.
Study thyself.
Again,
true.
You know, God, amen. But God is justice. He is sovereign, and he's all-knowing. So, again, we have to be able to share that and be able to stand before folk and teach them and preach for them and pray to them and share the gospel, the true gospel message on the importance of that there's a penalty to be priced. I mean, there's a penalty to be paid, you know. Romans, let me see, like I have Romans 6:23, you know, the wages of sin is death.
Yeah.
We don't want to spend eternity separated from hell. You know, one of the things why I encourage folk to always go to is a Bible study. Because if you go to Bible study, you'll find out that Jesus himself taught more about hell than anything else because he was trying to warn folk and let them know that he was the way, he was the escape from that destination. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Well, again, you listen to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. I have Brother Boone here who chimed in with us tonight and joined us and helped us go through this discussion a little bit. Again, if you're listening and you are online and you want to join the conversation, press 1 on your keypad and let us know. We can bring you in. If you're online at www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr, or you're listening from the Facebook link, you can call in at 646-668-2636, and you can share your insight, your testimony, or words of wisdom with us tonight. Amen. But Brother Boone, we're gonna go to the magic. This is gonna be the magic question. Amen.
Okay.
What must I do to be saved? We go out there and we're ministering and folk, and then folk come to, they hear what we're saying, and and they ask us the question: what must we do to be saved, and how do we respond? And that's, I think that's very important. And one of the things I'm gonna touch on is I'm gonna give you. I'm gonna give you a minute to think about it. It's that they must admit that they're sinning, understand what that means. But first thing I want to say to folk is, you must come to him as you are, and that has and I remember when I was teaching youth, one of the youth asked me, well, what does that mean? And you know, I can't come to church because I don't have nothing to wear, and that's not what God is saying. And it's not that, it's come right where you are. God already knows who you are. He knows what you've done. But what he wants from us is for us to come as we are and to be able to understand and be able to reach out to him. We come just as we are. We can't make ourselves any better to stand before God because God's already seen our dirt. He knows our dirt. He knew our dirt. But he also knew there was going to be a time and a place in your life when you would finally realize and come to know him. And that's where we have to be in a place. Because I tell folk all the time, don't try and get yourself ready to come to church. Just come. Hear the word. It's the word that's going to change your heart. It's going to be the saints. It's going to be the atmosphere. It's going to be you hearing the gospel for understanding that you may believe in it. It's not getting yourself together, trying to buy you a new dress, a new shirt, a new tie, a suit, and get some shoes or something, and get yourself all dressed up to come to church. Because trust me, there's a lot of people who are going to be a lot dressed up and stand before God, and not going to get any rewards. But it's important that we just come as you are, and that means come to hear the gospel. And for my saints out there, for my brothers and sisters and believers in the body of Christ, we have to be able to make people feel comfortable, not in their sin, but comfortable so they can hear the gospel, you know, that they don't need to come, you know, something. They don't need to get dressed up. They don't need to fix themselves up. And that's why we have to be on point, because the opportunity that we're talking to them, that's maybe where God uses us to plant a seed. Because the scripture talks about planting seed and sowing seed. So we have to be in a place in season and out of season that we can share a gospel message and plant a seed in someone. Because folk are always going to come back to you talking about, well, you know, I can't get myself together, and, you know, I'll come and all this other thing. I'll come on Easter. I might come Christmas. But, again, in that conversation, are we, as people of God, ready to share the gospel? Are we ready to get, let's have them respond to, are we ready to give them a gospel that will save their souls in our conversation? Amen? Amen.
Amen.
So, Brother Alec, can you share with me real quick about what it means to be able to admit that it's important to get to let the folk know that they have to be able to admit and confess that they, who they are, that they understand their sin? What do you think, sir?
Brother, that's a very, 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 very good question. Because when before I felt comfortable in knowing God and knowing His Son Jesus Christ and giving myself unto Him and letting Him know that confessing my sins unto Him, I had to realize that there are many churches around here. Yes, there are. And when you go into a church, here we go back to that same old word again, judging. Don't go in there to judge anybody. This person has better clothes than you, or this person's dressed up better than you, or this person is praising God on you. We all praise Him in different ways, and that's what He loves about us. We're all His children. We all have different hair on our heads, but you have to go there knowing that you are in His house to worship Him and to also share your love, agape love, with others at the church. Don't think for a minute that those people came in those churches and sitting in those pews that they went this came there the same way that we're speaking to you to go to the church as come as you are. They came as they are, as they are. Yes, as how they feel, how they have that relationship. They're coming knowing that they have that faith of a mustard seed in that relationship. So feel comfortable knowing that you could go to the church of your choice, sitting in the pews, listening to the songs, listening to the pastors, listening to the sermons, giving your tithe and offerings, but know the reason why. So as Deacon Farr was stating, you have to study thyself approved. Read the Bible. Start from the beginning. Read it to the end. Start in Psalms if you want to. Psalms that people just like you and me was praising God and a lot of those psalms was saying how in the short I didn't believe in you but now I believe. So yes, you're not alone when you starting to worship and understand why you're worshiping and understand why God is omnipotent and why He has His Son Jesus Christ that died for our sins. These things you have to put together for yourself with the help of brothers and sisters. Ask questions. That's if there was no one to ask questions, you'd be the only one on this earth. But there's many people to ask questions. Don't forget about the internet. There's the Bible's on the internet. There's so many ways to worship. You have so many doors to open to get that education of the gospel within you. And that's what you want to do. You want to quench the gospel. You want to change your life for a good reason, and that's to make it unto heaven. What do you think, brother?
Amen, sir. Amen. Amen. You're absolutely right, and that's important. That we have to, we have to be able to come as you are and just come to hear a gospel message. And once you come and once we share as body of Christ, again, I say that we must be able to hold conversations and share folk what we believe and what our faith is based on. You know, what we believe and why we believe it. You know, that was something that I was taught long ago, early in my faith, when we started to do evangelism. Because it's going to be more of a conversation for the unbeliever. Because I believe that the unbeliever gets a point where the scripture it's not going to mean everything to them more than our conversation with. So first we have to understand and get that and get the folk to understand it, to admit that they're a sinner. But we have to be able to understand what sin is. It's not about what they've done. It's not about what they're doing. It's about what God says sin is. And we have to be able to take them, again, back to Adam, back to the fall, back to the disobedience of mankind, and make them understand that, yes, Christ died for their sins, but also that God had a plan long ago in the book of Genesis, and we should be able to minister. You know, that was something else I learned, you know, that we should be able to minister the gospel from Genesis, because God said some things there when Adam fell. So we should, that's again, we have to get to a point where folk understand what sin is and being a sinner is, and not be, and again, my brother says it, he said it a couple times, not being in a judgmental way, but be prepared to have a conversation with folk when the questions are asked. The next one we have to talk about repentance. We have to talk about what repentance means, willing to turn away from their sins, from their disobedience to God. Because that's what when I share the gospel with those who may be unbelievers, we understand what sin is. It's simple. It's disobedient to what God says. And then if we're in a conversation, we'll start to talk about some of the things God calls us to be in our lives and share our testimonies. And that's another thing that we definitely have to be in a place in our walk, in our faith, in our secure, in our lives, that we can share some of the things that we did and recognize the sin in our lives and see what God has done with us. Because, again, sharing our testimony is also an opportunity and a way to show folk that it's not about being perfect. It's not about getting yourself together. It's about understanding what sin is. And in our testimonies, we can also be able to do that with folk. What do you think, sir? How important is that to be able to share our testimony to get people to understand what it means to be able to repent and begin to turn from their own sins?
It's so important. It starts out even when we were children and how our fathers, you know, once we got to that certain age where we can hear and understand words, how they just sat us down and said, look, I've been through the same thing that you're going through. I heard just like you have heard it. You know, I've did wrong back in when I was your age too. So I understand why you're hurting, son. I understand why you're going through this. But you can be forgiven. You can learn from your mistakes. And when you're being forgiven by God, and accepted by Jesus Christ, you are forgiven because He's a forgiving God. So it's great to know that we have a spiritual that spiritual relationship, as I stated, that where we are forgiven and not feeling like we're not non-existent to anything. If God forgave you, if Jesus forgave you, they're one of the same, you're all right with Him. So that's all that matters. Don't worry about what other people think of you. Just get your life in the way God wants you to have, wants He to have your life. Just look in the Bible. He tells you the way how you should walk and talk and let your light so shine that others may see, but you have to forgive yourself and then know that you are forgiven, and this way you can feel much more comfortable speaking to others with not authority, but with care and compassion as Jesus did. What do you think, brother?
Amen, sir. Amen. You're right. You have to get to a point where you believe in your heart and your mind that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Again, if this is all in the fulfillment of Scripture, and us as men of God, as the body of Christ, are we able to share, to get people to that point, to help them believe in their hearts and their minds? And that, again, is being able to answer the questions, to share the truth about the gospel. What sin is, what it means to be obedient to God, what God has called us to be, that God created us to be. You know, this sinful nature and what we're living and what we're battling with, this is not what God wants. The struggle that we're going through in this life, in this temporal realm, this is not God's best, what God really wants for us. But we have to be, again, we have to be a light. We have to be salt and light. The Scripture tells us that we ought to be able to show God's love to folk. Understand that we are going to be the only representation of God some folk will see. again, and in our lives and how we speak and how we handle situations and stress. Because, again, as a Christian man, I'll say this. Life is not always easy, but because I'm rooted and grounded in Christ, in his word, I can withstand some stuff. I could do so. I'm not going to do certain things in response to certain things that go on in my life. God is in control, and that's where we have to be able to share that. And that's where I believe our testimonies come in handy, and the word of God comes in to be able to help folk believe in their hearts and their minds who Christ is and what he has done, and understand that he died on the cross. That same baby that we're celebrating this month in this season, that child was born to pay the price for all of our sins. And I believe, again, I say this is the season where folk are open, but we have to be able to share the entire gospel, not just the nice parts, the manger parts, the three wise king parts. That same child come, let me see, this year, next year is going to be April or so in Easter. When we start reading about that, when we start reading about the crucifixion, we have to remember this is the same baby that we celebrate in this month that come Easter and come in the springtime. Is the same man, the full-grown man that's going to be beaten and crucified and killed for our sins.
Yeah.
So we have to, this is an opportunity that we need to connect that in folks' minds and hearts. Because we could plant the seed in Christmas, and maybe by Easter, it'll be planted. And it'll be planted in good ground, and they'll be ready to give their life to Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Good
so, again, we are called. We are called to disciple. We're called to mentor. We're called to be salt and light in this culture. And then the last one, it's telling folk that God is listening. God wants to hear your heart. And we pray, you can pray to God, you can ask for your forgiveness, you can ask him to lead you, to guide you, to accept you as his son. It's a simple conversation. I know there's sinner's prayers out there, there's a lot of things that we lead people in prayer, but for every man, there comes a time. Every man, every woman, every child, there comes a time when your heart, when you receive Christ, and you'll know when you become his, there's going to be a change. There's going to be a difference. You're going to start to think different. You're going to have a passion for the things of God, which is reading his word. I can remember reading scripture, and I couldn't understand it was thous and those and these and some other stuff, and all the Hebrew names. And, you know, when you start reading that, because you start in the Old Testament with all that stuff, you put it down. So you know what? I'm getting it. But now I can say you can read the Old Testament. You can read the First and Second Samuel and Kings, and you see the stories and you see the teachings and the principles that are there. You can read the New Testament and understand it and get insight and guidance for your life from it. So that's where we know that we're truly saved. And it's not going to be easy. But God, this is what God wants for you. He wants a better life. So again, we encourage you to seek him, seek this season for the saints that are listening, my men, my brothers, my deacons, my ministers, my elders. You know, prepare yourself to be able to share the gospel, that we can get past the in this season, that we become light, salt and light in this culture, in our circle of influence, and have an opportunity to share the gospel with someone that their lives might be changed and be saved in this season. Amen.
Amen.
Brother, do you have anything to share in closing?
Yes, real quick. I just want to say that, yes, when you have a testimony, that a burden on your heart, that it's a testimony. It's something that you want to let people know that I am free from the sins that bored me down, that cuffed me, that shackled me. So don't be afraid to give your testimony out there, because I still give testimonies out there of good and of bad things. I'm not just talking to people to get it out. I'm speaking to my own flesh and my own spirit, which strengthens you. So don't always feel comfortable to give your testimony unto God. Amen.
Amen, sir. Hey, I thank you for joining us tonight. God bless you, sir.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
Amen. And you've been listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. You can join us every Monday night at 8 p.m. and every Thursday at 8:30 p.m. And we talk about those issues that affect men's lives as they continue to love and lead their families, their wives, their children, and be the leaders that God is calling to be in the church, in the community, and in the home. God bless you, and we'll talk to you soon.